Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the History of Byzantium, episode 246, Traveling to Turkey with Sheriff Yanin. While I'm away on the third History of Byzantium tour, I thought it was time to talk to the man behind them, Sheriff Yanin. Sheriff has been a tour guide in Istanbul for decades, and I met him on my first visit to Istanbul. It's been a pleasure to work with him ever since, and as you can imagine, it's Sheriff who does all the hard work of planning and running the tours. In this interview, I ask him about his life and career, the many guidebooks he's published, and about his YouTube channel and podcast. If you want to travel to Turkey or visit it virtually, then sheriffyanin.com is an ideal place to start. That's sheriffyenen.com. I also put listener questions to Sheriff about places to see in Istanbul and beyond, as well as how to find a good restaurant. Enjoy the interview and email me, thehistoryofbyzantium@gmail.com, if you'd like to go on a tour in 2023 or beyond. Hello, Sheriff Yanin, and welcome to the History of Byzantium.
Well, such a great pleasure for me, Robin. Thank you very much for inviting me to your podcast.
It's a great pleasure to have you here. Sheriff has been an absolute godsend when it comes to leading tours around Turkey and showing the listeners a good time. So it's a great pleasure to have him here. Tell the listeners a bit about your background and how you first became a tour guide.
Thank you. Well, I come from a small town near the ancient city of Ephesus, and I wanted to start my life with a military career. I wanted to be a pilot. So at the age of 14, I was able to pass the exams for the military high school in Istanbul. So this was a great change in my life. I came to Istanbul for my education, studied at the military high school for 4 years. And then I understood that I was not going to be able to fly as a pilot. Then I wanted to be an English teacher in the army, and I studied English literature and linguistics as a military student. Then I became an English teacher and a lieutenant. Well, altogether, after 12 years in the military forces, I decided to change my career. I quit, and then I became a tour guide. Ever since, I have been working as a tour guide. It has been more than 30 years now, and I still enjoy working as a tour guide.
I can tell that by working with you, and you have great enthusiasm for your job. What would you say is the best part about being a tour guide?
First of all, I feel very lucky to be in Turkey as a tour guide. You know, Turkey, you know better than I do, of course, is such a rich history here and so much beauties around. To share all this with especially foreign guests from all around is such a wonderful experience, such a wonderful feeling. And other than that, being a tour guide means meeting different people from different walks of life. And it is a very dynamic job. The next day is never the same. And you look at your own culture from different aspects together with your guests. And you have the opportunity to have cultural interactions. It is not only one-way traffic in tour guiding, it is two-way traffic. And while sharing your country's information, you're learning a lot in return. And also, I'm a national guide, not only a regional guide. I do guiding all over Turkey. I have a principle. I always want to add something new in every tour that I lead. For example, I love adding new discoveries. I consult with my guests and they say, I say, like 20 miles farther away from here, there is a fortress which I haven't been before. Shall we try that? And we all together go there and we try that. So adding these kinds of discoveries in every program, I create a kind of creativity and novelty, and it keeps me enthusiastic about working as a tour guide in Turkey.
Nice. That makes me excited to to come on the next tour. So as you said, you've been working as a tour guide for a long time. And I know after many years, you became president of the Istanbul Tourist Guides Guild and the National Federation. Was that a tough job to take on? And how did that experience affect your career?
I don't know how it happened, but I think it was because of my guidebooks, which I wrote from before, made me known among my colleagues. So they encouraged me to run for this position one day. And I don't know, I found myself running for the elections one day. And then the first term, the second term, and the third term, altogether like 12, 13 years. It was an honor for me, of course, to represent all of your colleagues. We have 10,000 guides in Turkey, and 4,000 of them are in Istanbul. We also became a member of the World Federation of Tour Guide Associations. So I joined many international meetings. So we were learning from other countries. We were comparing ourselves with the colleagues from other countries. This was a great opportunity. And also as a representative of the tour guides in the travel industry, I was able to establish good relations with other colleagues or other travel industry representatives. And this gave me a lot of flexibility in my job. And I can reach many other people so easily. It was an advantage in the end.
Well, I spotted early on in looking at your website that while you were president of the guild, you were able to guide a couple of very famous people around Istanbul. Would you tell the listeners just a little bit about those experiences?
Yeah, it was such an honor for me. Some of these celebrities fit in the time when I was the president of the organization, but some came later as well. For example, Pope Benedict XVI or Oprah Winfrey or Princess Michael of Kent or Matt Lauer and Lester Holt from the Today Show. Or Dr. Zahi Hawass from Egypt, a National Geographic personality. So it was such an honor for me, but it is not easy. You know, when you are touring with big names like these, it becomes a lot more stressful. But on the other hand, I have to admit that even after 30 years, still, if I have a tour the next day, I am nervous. I'm anxious. And I don't know what kind of guests I'm going to meet the next day. I don't know if I will be able to establish a good relation with them. I don't know if I will be able to satisfy them with the services that I will be presenting. So no matter who the guest is, it is always a VIP for me, and it makes me nervous enough.
Very good. Well, I imagine when you had to guide the Pope, that was even more nerve-wracking. But people will have to come and meet you to ask you for more information about that. Let's turn to Byzantium and to some questions that listeners asked when I put out the call on social media. Obviously, you and your fellow tour guides have to deal with Byzantine history all the time, but could you tell the listeners about how the average person in Turkey thinks about Byzantium today? Do they learn about it, and do they see it as a part of a foreign past or as a part of Turkish heritage?
Well, this is a wonderful question, and thank you for bringing this up. And there is no one fixed answer for this. There are different answers. First of all, we have to accept that it is not only about Byzantium. There were tens of other civilizations before the Turks. In Anatolia, I mean. Turks, as you all know, came to Anatolia in 1071. And from then on, they started settling down here. Today, among the Turkish people, there is a big group of people, I don't know the percentage, who do not care about the earlier people of Anatolia. I mean, before 1071. No matter if it is the Hittites or if it is the Byzantines. They don't care. They only look for the Turkish history. It is true that Turks came from Central Asia, and this was in the 11th century. But when we came to Anatolia, we didn't kill everyone here. Instead, we mixed with the earlier people. Lots of our traditions derived from the earlier cultures of Anatolia. And even our look, we came with the Asian look, but now we are more Mediterranean-looking people. Why? It is because of the mix. Many traditions in the Ottoman palace came from the Byzantine traditions, for example. The food, the music, many other things. So how can you ignore that? We have to accept all of the earlier civilizations of Anatolia as richness in our culture. But unfortunately, not every people agree with that, agrees with that. And hopefully, like many people who are educated enough to appreciate the Byzantines, the Romans, the Hellenistic people, the Phrygian people, the Urartian people, the Hittite people, the Hatti people of the earlier centuries more, so that we treasure this all together.
Excellent. The listeners also wanted some recommendations from you. Is there a site in Istanbul that most people don't know about or don't go to see that you would recommend they do?
Oh, this is also a very good question. So by having this question, rather than speaking about one place, if I may, I would like to tell more places. Because the average number of nights or days for a visitor in Istanbul is like only 3 days. So many people coming to Istanbul rush to the same places for these 2-3 days. The Topkapı Palace, the Hagia Sophia, the Blue Mosque, the Grand Bazaar, the Spice Bazaar, the Bosphorus Cruise, and then maybe the Galata Tower, and then that's all. They go back. So 99% of the visitors coming to Istanbul do these highlights and leave. But there is a lot more than that. Like in our upcoming tour, we included many other things in the program. For example, if I want to make a generalization, many Byzantine churches, which were converted into mosques, are generally not visited. For example, the Zeyrek Mosque, the former Pantokrator Monastery, Kalenderhane Mosque, the former Kriotissa Church, or the Fethiye Mosque, Pamakaristos Church, and many others. So Byzantine churches, which were converted into mosques, we can make a list of them and we can visit them. Just like this, speaking about mosques, people see the Blue Mosque and not even see the other most important mosque, the Süleymaniye, which was built by Sultan Süleyman the Magnificent from the 16th century. But there are beautiful places like the Rüstem Paşa, like the Sokollu Mehmet Paşa Mosque, or like the Mihrimah Sultan in Üsküdar on the Asian side of Istanbul. Mihrimah was the daughter of Sultan Süleyman the Magnificent, for example. So there are a few other important smaller mosques which can be added in our bucket list in Istanbul. Or lesser known cisterns. For example, a privately owned Nakkaş cistern, or the Binbirdrek, 1001 columns, cistern of Philoxenos, or the Şerefiye cistern, Theodosius cistern. And there are many more. Some of them do not even have names. I don't know. I have one tour, for example, the underground and secret Istanbul. We try to go to these unknown places in this tour as well. And if listeners are interested, they may like to take a look at the list of places in my website as well. And then there are some new neighborhoods, for example, the Balat neighborhood, B-A-L-A-T, where the Greek Orthodox Patriarchate is also located. It is a new gentrified area with nice cafes and restaurants and boutiques and so on. The Asian side neighborhoods like Kuzguncuk or Kadıköy or Üsküdar. Üsküdar is the Asian side neighborhood in Istanbul where the famous Battle of Chrysopolis took place between Constantine and Licinius. So we can add these places in our bucket list as well.
Very good. Well, you're going to have to restrict yourself for the next question, because the next question is, where else in Turkey should people go? I imagine you could list many places because, as you say, Turkey has such a rich history. But if you could pick out one or two that you particularly like that people don't go to.
Okay, yeah. Well, my favorite place outside of Istanbul, this has been my favorite place only in the past few years because there has been a new excavation and a new discovery in southeastern part of Turkey, that is Göbekli Tepe, the Neolithic site. With circular buildings with the T-shaped megaliths placed in the circle. And it is mind-boggling. I mean, 10,000 BC, the so-called primitive people, whom we thought they would be living in caves, some 6,500 years before the invention of metal tools, were able to shape gigantic size stones and make beautiful stylized animal figures on them. Unbelievable. I mean, the more you learn, the more astonished you get. So Göbekli Tepe is my number one site in the whole world.
Fantastic. Another recommendation listeners were interested in is how do you find a good restaurant in Turkey? Do you have any tips for figuring out where would be good to go or particular cuisine you would recommend?
This is a very difficult question actually, but if I am in a new area in Turkey and if I don't know where to eat, rather than going to the luxurious places, I go to the back streets. I try to find hidden restaurants in the business areas, generally for shopkeepers. You know, shopkeepers, if the quality of a restaurant is not good, they don't go there anymore. And the restaurant doesn't have the chance to survive. That's why I look at the restaurant, I see if it is crowded enough. Crowded with local people, with more local people inside. So this is my criterion, for example. And other than that, recently I have been working on an illustrated map of Istanbul, and I made a delicious Istanbul map. It is a culinary map of Istanbul with breakfast places, street food places, restaurants for shopkeepers, or sea view restaurants, or kebabs, or the pasta places, or the pide places, and all different categories like that. I hope I will be able to publish it soon, and it will be available everywhere. It's going to be so simple to follow the recommended places there as well.
That's fantastic. That's a perfect transition to the next question, because you've produced a lot of material and content over the years that people can take with them to Turkey or they can enjoy at home. So let's talk about some of them. I know COVID lockdowns have given you time to work on your online material. Could you tell the listeners a bit more about your YouTube channel and your podcast and what sort of things they can find there?
You know, I knew nothing about podcasting, but I learned a lot from you. And for the first few years, I didn't have the courage to start that. But only recently, I had the courage and I was able to start it in a very humble, in a very simple way. So it's a travel podcast. I named it as Turkish Odyssey. I have a guidebook named as Turkish Odyssey, so I got the name from my guidebook. It's a new project. It's a travel podcast. There is no subscription which is required. Available in all platforms like Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It is good for those visitors who would like to go to Istanbul and Turkey. Why? Because I give summaries there, like the Byzantine summary and the Ottoman summary, and then the highlights, section by section. I have done so far like 5 episodes or so. So it is new, but little by little, it's getting better and better. It gives very precise, I mean, like one a day kind of a information. So it may be useful for visitors who would like to come to Istanbul or Turkey. YouTube, I've been dealing with it for a long while, but with this COVID time, I started making some presentations online, and then I said, why not? I put some of these presentations on my YouTube channel. So I have a few different series in my YouTube channel. There are some videos in Turkish, some videos in English. I have a series named as Did You Know? So many interesting pieces of information about Anatolian history. So I try to put one topic every week, and I have been doing this regularly with no interruption, with no exception, for more than a year now. One video, 1 minute video in Turkish and another video in English every week. Then I have virtual tours of places like the Hagia Sophia and Göbekli Tepe and so on. I have human history lectures. I have practical information videos. So YouTube, I have been spending more time for a longer period, let's say. Other than that, I'm also a very active social media user. Whatever I prepare for YouTube, I make it available in my other platforms like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn. So they are all available everywhere. If you just write Şerif Yenen in the Google search box, you come across with lots of results.
Absolutely. And I thoroughly recommend your Kora Church and Hagia Sophia tours in English. If people won't be able to get to Istanbul it's like you're there, you have great access to those places. So
thank you.
That's fantastic. And we've talked a couple of times about your books that you've written, books and travel guides. Do you want to just tell people a bit more about them?
Just shortly. I have guidebooks. The first guidebook that I wrote was The Turkish Odyssey, and I made it in four languages. And somehow it became the first guidebook of Turkey ever written by a Turk. I don't know how and why it happened so. Otherwise, we used to read about Turkey from Fodor's, from Lonely Planet, from The Blue Guide, and so on. And it was liked a lot, and it made me known among many other people. And I have recently been able to update the Turkish version, and the new version is just coming out within these days now. I love illustrated maps. I work with a very good professional team, illustrators and designers, Turkey and Istanbul maps. I have been able to make a travel documentary film about Istanbul, and it is named as The Istanbul Unveiled, and it has won like 8 or 9 international awards. It is available in my YouTube channel now. Thousands of people have liked it a lot. Then I have quick guide pamphlets and about places like the Hagia Sophia, Basilica Cistern, Hippodrome, Topkapı Palace, the Bosphorus. And I have the culture series of the quick guide pamphlets as well, like Islam in Turkey, the Jewish heritage, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, the founder of the Turkish Republic, the Whirling Dervishes, wines of Turkey, which are among the oldest grapes in the world. So these are my publications.
Yeah. Those cultural guides are excellent. You know, I found that very helpful when we went to see the Whirling Dervishes on the last tours and so on. Mm-hmm. I should say, obviously, more information about this at sherifyenin.com. And I should probably spell that for non-Turkish listeners. That's SERIFYENEN.com, Sherif Yenin. And there you can also find out a little bit about the international lectures that you've given about Turkish history and culture. Do you want to just tell the listeners a bit more about that?
Thank you. Yeah. You know, we always tell about history of Turkey in the presence of our groups. Sometimes we do it on the bus. Sometimes we find a room in the hotel, wherever is appropriate. Then I started promoting these presentations to other countries, especially to the US. And I have been able to establish some relations with the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., for example. And Smithsonian has been my regular place for my lectures now. I have done more than 10 times. Just a few days ago, I did one online lecture about the unknown or lesser known parts of Istanbul, for example. I have been to some museums and some other universities like the Penn Museum, University of Washington, Boston Cultural Festival. You know, from Mongolia up until Ireland, I have been to many different countries to talk about Turkey, Turkish history, ancient civilizations, flavors of Anatolia, ancient cities, and the virtual tours about places from Turkey. So it is also a great pleasure for me to be able to do these kinds of presentations.
Fantastic. Well, there may be people listening who want to make use of your services. And I definitely recommend people check out sherifyenin.com or come on the History of Byzantium tour to meet Sherif in person and to see our double act as we take you around Byzantine and other Turkish sites. So Sherif, all I can say is thank you so much for all the work you've done, and thank you for coming on the podcast today.
Well, Robin, I can't thank you enough for introducing me to your audience and for making tours together. It is always a great pleasure for me to work with you.
Thank you so much.